CUSA fans, and welcome back to another episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Jessica Radford, and we are finally back in Dallas from the 2026 Air National Guard Conference USA Men's and Women's Basketball Championships. And boy, was it a joy to watch all of last week. As always, when I'm in this chair, Eric Jones joins me to talk about all the things basketball. This episode, we will strictly talk about women's basketball, though, and we have our men's basketball featuring, Coach Petway and RJ Johnson coming up tomorrow, so be on the lookout for that. We have special guest, Missouri State head coach Beth Cunningham, and, you know, our tournament MVP came in, Becca Meyer. Oh, yeah. So that episode, I mean, that interview will be a little bit after we talk about everything that went down for the women's championship last week.
Yeah, it was such a fun week. We're both still kind of coming down from it. A little tired, but it's crossover season. We absolutely love it. It was the year of the sixth seed in Conference USA. Such a fun week. It's a long week, 18 games in total. But, you know, Jessica will dive right on into it here with the women's.
I think just, you know, a couple games to point out. We won't go through every single game, but, you know, I think that for Tuesdays, just to have a fresh off the gate, we had that UTEP-Jack State matchup, our 7 and our 10 season. That went into double overtime. Oh, yeah. And it's so funny because I was just looking at the schedule. Even for our last weekend of regular season, Jack State went into overtime with Kennesaw. UTEP went into overtime with Louisiana Tech mm-hmm. that same weekend on that Saturday. And to come turn around on Tuesday where you just had to travel and you go into a double OT game, these girls were gassed. But, you know, it's just like you got to lay it all on down to the line. I think what that game was 77-82. Well, 82-77, Jack State got that one over UTEP. But they were both fighting. Portia Adams, UTEP's main scorer this year, you know, she fouled out early on, even before that overtime. And I think UTEP just got behind her and was like, hey, we're still going to fight for this. We still want to play, you know, tomorrow. But Jack State was just really good, especially defensively, was getting some shots up that they needed, especially, you know, at the end of that overtime segment. But hey, kudos to Jack State. Rick, he's retiring. So, hey, great career that you've had at Jack State. Yep. I totally forgot about that. That just popped up in my mind. Yep. That was so early on Tuesday because he announced that on Wednesday after their loss to FIU on Wednesday, he announced his retirement. So, hey, congratulations for that. You've had a great run at Jack State with the winningest basketball coach, I think, at Jack State he is. So, amazing career he's had. But double overtime game, and I think that was just tremendous effort, especially on our student athletes, just coming off that weekend of having an overtime game, and then you have to go into double OT. So that was a really, really good game for that Tuesday on the women's side. And then on Wednesday, Louisiana Tech, we always talk about their scoring margins between these teams, and they won that one against Delaware because Delaware won against Kennesaw on Tuesday 66-47, so they won against our number one seed on Wednesday. But Louisiana Tech, all gas, no breaks, I feel like.
Came out hot.
Yes, you came out in this tournament was like they're in it to win it. They were firing on all cylinders, scoring the ball. Paris Bradley, I think she shot 12 threes maybe. Or not 12. She was 7 for 8. It was 12 threes as a team. But Paris Bradley, she went 7 of 8 from the three-point line in that game. Incredible. She went off. Couldn't miss, I feel like, even in the first half. I think she was, 5 for 5? And we were like, the record for three-pointers in a game for the tournament is 8. So I was like, she is close to getting it. And she was just there. She got 7. Mm-hmm. She was almost 8 for 8. That would have been a tremendous feat for her. But, hey, Paris Bradley, Jordan Marshall, Gianna Morris, Alexia Weaver, all just doing great things for Louisiana Tech in that game. And they won that one well beyond. We were like, okay, what's the, you know, most scoring, you know, margin in a tournament game? They didn't quite get it. I think it was, 38 points or maybe at 42 at one point way back in the day was the largest scoring margin. So they didn't get that. But they were very well close to it. That second game, who was it? It was Jack State FIU. FIU came out on top of that 76-66. And we finally saw Rima Collins in person. Hey, she is just what you want your player of the year to do, getting points, getting rebounds. Well, Paris Atkins is right there neck and neck. I mean, they've been neck and neck all season long for FIU. And it's just like you could definitely see their chemistry on the court and what they bring to the FIU program. It's them two. And, you know, people step up when they need to and assist and rebounding. But as far as scoring points, you know, you're looking at Rima and Paris to knock down some points for you. And they definitely did that for them. And that was quarterfinal runs on Wednesday. And then we had our second day of quarterfinals. And I think these were probably the most interesting games of the week for sure. I always say our Thursday games, when you have your 4 and 5 and your 3 and 6, you're in for a battle for sure. Liberty came out on top of Sam Houston, our 5 seed, you know, knocked down our 4 seed. 89-57. And I think this game is so important to note that Sam Houston has, you know, their turnover forced, they're fifth in the nation, and Liberty forced them to more turnovers than Sam Houston forced Liberty to. And I think that was definitely, you know, the game changer in that game. Yeah. Liberty, I mean, Sam Houston couldn't get, you know, a stop on Liberty, couldn't force those turnovers. And I think Liberty's mindset into that game was defensive efforts. Like, we need to really sit down and we need to really defend the ball. And then we also have to, you know, offensively be aggressive. And I think when you have Avery Mills and when you have Ife Nwabe, who went crazy, a freshman, she's a redshirt freshman for Liberty, and she could not miss from the three-point line during this game. I think she was also, what, maybe 6 of 7 from the three-point line that day. I got to say it. We've been saying on the podcast, all podcasts love 6-7. We've never done it, so I have to do it now. But she was a tremendous, I think, just an addition to their tournament run in this, but just an addition in the like the season, you know, especially when Avery Mills, she was down all of January. I mean, all of, yes, January, kind of a little bit of February. She stepped up big for them. Avery Mills is back in the lineup. And with them two hitting three-pointers and them falling, I mean, how can you lose a game when they're so efficient from the three-point line? Those two are. Yeah. And I think Avery Mills was a little bit of foul trouble at the beginning of that game. So she came out in the second quarter and was hitting threes, like just didn't miss a beat at all. So definitely got that one. That one was, what was the score for that one? 89-57. Liberty got that one off. And then we had our 3 and our 6. And this one was I could not wait for this game, especially just how they just went against each other. Number 3, Middle Tennessee. Number 6, Missouri State. They just went against each other that past Saturday, that very last conference matchup. And this was the game that knocked Missouri State to the 6th seed, where if they would have won that game, they could have got the number 2 seed. But Missouri State got that one over 69-66, which honestly, this one was a little scary in the, you know, those final 2 minutes of that fourth quarter. We were sitting here like, is it about to go into overtime? I mean, 69-66, all Middle Tennessee had to do was get a three-pointer. And we know Middle Tennessee can shoot from the three-point line. Oh, yeah. So tremendous defensive effort from Missouri State. Just, you knew that they didn't want to lose that one. And I think we already know that they're not a traditional six seed. And, you know, in Beth Cunningham's interview, she'll say that we're not really a traditional six seed. We didn't come into the tournament with that mindset of being a six seed. But tremendous effort from them. Defensive effort, I think, was just, you know, the tagline of this week for our teams. We have teams who shoot high numbers in every single game. You know, you have your defensive team like Sam Houston, who doesn't really score as much, but they hold teams to low scoring games. Yeah. So I think that was the mindset going into this week. You want to hold these opponents to low scoring games, and defensive, being a defensive minded team, was very at the forefront for all of them, I feel like. But then we had our semifinals. So we had Liberty against our number 1, Louisiana Tech. Louisiana Tech got that one 61-48. I think this game was just Louisiana Tech was just fired up, I think. It was all just perfect play, I think, until, you know, that championship game that we'll talk a little bit about. But when you think about how Louisiana Tech can sometimes, you know, it's a close scoring game in the first half, and Louisiana Tech really plays their teams, you know, their opponents close, but in the second half, they really break away. And I think that's what happened with Louisiana Tech in that third and fourth quarter. You know, they just started building momentum and they built off of that. And, you know, when Liberty can't score, can't get the ball to go in, that's when you get a score like 61-48. And Louisiana Tech came out on top of that. Of course, Paris Bradley, their main scorer, she was on fire on all cylinders. I think you could just see it in her eyes that she had that one common goal of getting to, you know, that championship final. And they definitely did that with that game. And then we have our Missouri State FIU. This one, I know if I was FIU, number 2 seed, who, you know, we've lost twice to in a regular season, and Missouri State, I think if I was Missouri State as a 6 seed coming in and I'm going against the number 2 seed, yes, we beat them twice, but it is hard to beat a team 3 times. But I think when you have beat a team twice like that in a regular season, especially in their last matchup, they won by 30 points. So you think you kind of figured out the system a little bit. And I know, I'm pretty sure FIU would have probably wanted to go against Middle Tennessee a little bit more because they've won both of those regular season games over them. But I was very excited for this matchup because, like I said, it's hard to beat a team 3 times, and definitely they delivered. It was a very close game, 74-69, only a 5-point game.
Yeah.
And when you look at just the efforts, like I said, of Rima and Paris, like what I think Rima Collins had probably 26 or 24, and Paris had either 24 or 26. They're scoring almost, you know, majority of their points. And it is kind of hard, but you know, they have other people, I think, that does disruptive things on the defensive end that helps them open up for them to score like they do. But when you have a Cayman Beckermeyer who I think she nearly had a triple double that game. She had 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists about around there. That girl was on fire. Lainey Douglas chipping in, doing what she do. Maissa Washington, she's a freshman. So when you have multiple people that are scoring, that are rebounding, that, you know, can assist and get steals, this team has a camaraderie that I don't think I've seen on ESPN Plus, but I mean, we're not there. So we finally get to see these teams in person. You can see that style of play. And Missouri State, kudos to Coach Cunningham and her preparation and her scouting report, because it worked. And, you know, they were just killing teams, I think, just getting the ball. We all know Cayman Beckermeyer, that's the person that's probably going to score. And she could not be stopped. She's making plays. She's getting and-ones. I think it was a couple times where I looked at you during this week. I'm like, I don't even know how that just went in. I don't even know how she got that.
No, this was by far, I think this was my favorite game of the week. I wouldn't say by far, but definitely my favorite. Just looking at like the box line here, you have, you know, Cayman Beckermeyer. She also played 39 minutes of that game. I mean, she's playing in the entirety of these games, just about. And to put up the numbers she did, and obviously she had a supporting cast with her, but this game right here was the one that was like, all right, if they go on to win this, she's got to be the MVP. Mm-hmm. Like, she has been incredible all year, and I think she wanted to make this statement for her team. Was good at the free throw line when it mattered. But yeah, grabbing big defensive rebounds. All 8 of them were on the defensive side, and then the assist machine too. Like, she is dishing it out to her teammates. And I know in the interview too, she preaches she couldn't do any of this without her coaching staff and her teammates. So incredible, incredible game here. Incredible week from Cayman Beckermeyer.
For sure. And then, of course, we have our final with number 1 Louisiana Tech, number 6 Missouri State. And I think we all came in here and was like, we don't even know who could win. It was a toss-up, right? Yeah. You have Louisiana Tech, who's on this 19-game winning streak. All the momentum, you know, in theory, is on their side, right? Yeah. They've been playing well all week. They've been playing well all season. And I'm pretty sure Louisiana Tech was favored to win this one, right? But you have Missouri State as not really an underdog, like you said, not your traditional 6 seed. But I already told you before this game, it's going to be a defensive game. Yeah. You need to, these are two high scoring teams. You need to focus on defense, because when you have a player like Paris Bradley on Louisiana Tech that's scoring and, you know, can get around people, and when you have somebody like Cayman Beckermeyer, and we already knew coming into this game, whoever was going to win, if Louisiana Tech was going to win, it was going to be Paris Bradley MVP.
Yeah.
If Missouri State was going, we already knew Cayman Beckermeyer was going to be MVP, like you just said. But I think this was, what, one of the lowest scoring games in USA tournament history on the women's side.
Yeah.
And I do want to note that, you know what, I think Louisiana Tech shot 22.7% from the field, and that was their lowest field goal percentage of the whole entire season. Missouri State held Louisiana Tech to 5 points in the third quarter, and I think that is definitely what won that game for them. It was a neck-and-neck battle all throughout the first half. I mean, like, Missouri State would get a point, Louisiana Tech will, you know, respond right after. Yeah. So it was such a good battle at the beginning. And then that third, you know, whatever happened in that locker room with Missouri State, whatever Beth and her coaching staff preaching to Missouri State, you just knew that they came out and they were like, okay, we gotta sit down, and we also have to score as well. So just to hold a team to 5 points in the third quarter, I think that was definitely their advantage. And they went into that fourth quarter with all the momentum. Their crowd was insane. I mean, Louisiana Tech's crowd was insane as well. But when you have that momentum and you have that crowd energy, it is kind of hard when, you know, your side is kind of silent and you just can't really find a rhythm. I feel like Louisiana Tech had some good opportunities, had some good looks, but the ball was just not falling. Yeah. And Missouri State, it was the complete opposite on their side. Low scoring game, but I think it was just a good defensive battle. It was a good defensive effort, and I already knew that was what was going to come down into this game.
And you could tell too, like, these teams are playing, you know, Missouri State was playing their third game in 3 days, Louisiana Tech playing the third game in 4 days. Like, at that point of the week, their legs are dog tired. I mean, and you could tell, like, being down there on the court, around the court, like, you could tell these girls were exhausted, but they were going to go down fighting. And even if, like you said, like, the field goal percentages weren't great, the point total wasn't great, but it was a grinded out sort of a game, and either team had a chance there at the end. So it was cool to see. And Missouri State didn't shoot it well either. Mm-hmm. I mean, you had, you know, Lainey Douglas and Cayman Beckermeyer pull away there at the end and lead the team in scoring. But yeah, it was a grinded out type of game, and it was an interesting game style to watch on the court at that level.
Missouri State comes out on top of that one, 43-38. They were our first six seed since the 2013 championship to win. And then also, what was I about to say? Hey, kudos to Missouri State. You literally, you played three games like in 3 days, like you said, and you had to go against the top three teams, and you swept all of them. So definitely kudos to them. I want to give a huge shout out to Missouri State, their fans. You guys are one of probably the nicest fan bases. Oh, yeah. I'm not saying that all the other fan bases are not nice. I just don't think we've conversed with any more fans than we did with the Missouri State. But I also feel like they were on our side that we were sitting on for majority of the tournament, yeah, for both the men's and the women's.
Yeah.
So we just had an opportunity. You're seeing the same faces every single day, especially when the men's were in it up until they weren't. But they were so nice. Huge shout out to Dan. You told us that you watched the podcast every single episode. We truly appreciate you. Got to meet you and your wife. So sweet. So nice. It was also some other Missouri State fans. They said they went to, you know, college a really long time ago. but they were so nice. And I was like, oh, do you have any affiliation with the team? You know, you have any relatives? And they were like, no, we're just here to support. Like, we graduated from here and we're still supporting them. And I was like, that is a loyal fan base. So you guys were so sweet, so nice. Liberty fan bases, of course, is really nice. Got to give a huge shout out to Judy, who's always asked me for roster sheets before every game. So I emailed you those for the championship game for her, but just amazing people. I love when people come up and be like, oh my gosh, you're from the podcast, or, you know, see you on a commercial. So it was cool and it was fun to experience that. You guys are absolutely amazing and we appreciate it. We wouldn't even do this if it wasn't for you guys. So we love that.
Yeah.
But hey, now the moment you're probably all waiting for, we have our exclusive interview with head coach Beth Cunningham and junior guard Cayman Beckenmeyer. And this is brought to you by Victory Snacks.
Join us today on this USA Insider podcast. We have Missouri State's head women's basketball coach, Beth Cunningham, and junior guard, Cayman Beckenmeyer. Thank you guys so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
I just want to start by saying congrats on winning the 2026 Air National Guard Conference USA Women's Basketball Champions. I mean, you guys are in your first year in the league. How does it feel to be tournament champions?
I mean, it's so surreal. We were on cloud nine for a while, and our whole 10-hour bus ride back, it just, I mean, we said it was the best bus ride we've ever had. So there's not a whole lot of words. We're really excited, and we've just kind of been leaning on each other and looking at all of our hard work since June and just kind of reflecting, but, you know, turning the page to the tournament now. So,
Coach, you entered the Conference USA tournament as a number six seed, and typically, I mean, realistically, you didn't enter the tournament as a traditional six seed. You guys were one shy, went away from being the number two seed in the regular season. But, like, what belief did you have in this team internally that just made this tournament run?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, on paper, it looks like, oh, the six seed beat the one seed. But honestly, I never really felt like we were a six seed, even though we were six seed. I thought we had a great conference season. I think we were the only team that, you know, were in that group of the tiebreaker set that, you know, had to play all the top teams twice. So I definitely think we had the toughest schedule. And, you know, it ended up shaking out with the tiebreaker and how that works that we were six seed. But I don't think there's any question any of us doubted ourselves for a second. I mean, even when we had some bumps in the road throughout February and throughout conference season, you know, I specifically remember after a tough loss, I think at home against Liberty, before we were heading into one of our toughest stretches, that the outcome of, you know, any of our games where we came up a little bit short didn't deter or waver my belief at all in what I thought we could accomplish. If we stayed together, if we stayed focused, if we corrected some things, and, you know, I felt that way all the way throughout the season. And, you know, we lost at Louisiana Tech by one at their place, you know, towards the end of the season. And I remember, I don't know if I told the kids that, but I remember telling our staff, we play them again, we won't lose three times. And so I think, you know, and then once we saw the draw, obviously a lot of this stuff comes down to matchups. You don't want to look too far ahead, but I love the opportunity to play Middle Tennessee again. It had been our last regular season game. If we had won that game, we're two seed. You know, we lose, we drop to a six seed. But I know that our kids were excited. We were excited to be able to, in essence, turn around and run it right back a week later. And there's not too many opportunities that you get when you play collegiate sports that if you lose, you get to turn around and play the next game, play them in the next game. So I know that we looked forward to that opportunity. You know, FIU, we'd already beaten them twice, so it's hard to beat any team three times. And then obviously they had a tremendous season. So I was worried about that game, but just want our kids to just kind of look at it as, hey, let's take it one game at a time. And just add another game to our schedule. And but ultimately felt like we were, as on any given night, we could beat anybody. On any given night, we could lose to anybody. That's kind of how the conference season went this year, with a lot of parity.
Beating the top three seeds is rare in a conference tournament. Kamen, what does that say about this team's toughness and preparation?
Yeah, I mean, credit to our coaching staff. They definitely had us ready. But, I mean, coach does a lot at this point in the season. It's a lot mentally over physically, which is so true. Our bodies have been through it. You know, they're going to be hurting no matter what's happening. So really just mentally being locked in. And I feel like every single morning you could tell at each of our shoot arounds, like, we were ready. We were ready for the day. We were ready to take on whatever challenge was coming our way. And just asking each other questions, asking the coaching staff questions. But really, we just leaned on each other. And that's what's made us so successful.
Coach, what's something people didn't see behind the scenes that defined this championship for you guys?
Well, I think it's like any team in any season, whether it's us or whether it's anybody else. You know, sometimes you just, you know, it's easy just to look at end results and kind of how you finish. And, you know, there's so many things that go on throughout the season behind the scenes that unless you're in it, nobody really appreciates. And so I think that's one of the things that I've always tried to preach to our kids is, you know, you've got to embrace each challenge. You know, you've got to be able to handle success. You've got to be able to handle failure. But from both of them, you can grow so much. And so, you know, always just trying to have that upward trajectory in playing our best basketball of the season late in the year. And there's no question about it that we were doing that. And, you know, I think it was probably we probably finished with one of the toughest stretches. We had 4 games in 7 days because of, you know, a game that had gotten moved. And, you know, I mean, we had a tough stretch, but there's no question I felt like we were playing our best basketball of the year. And you go through so many ups and downs, whether you're winning, whether you have bumps in the road. And so much of it is just about having the right kids on the bus and getting everybody in the right seats and, you know, just handling the success, handling the adversity and staying together. And I think that's one of the things we've tried to do with the kids that we've recruited to Missouri State is get the kids that understand and will buy into playing for something bigger than just themselves. And it's hard to do in today's day and age. But we've got great kids. We've had a great culture. And a lot of that could just goes to credit by, or from the kids on our team and really believing and trusting in each other and trusting in the coaching staff and, you know, weathering the storm, because every season, whether you win the national championship or you come up short, you always have adversity. And usually I feel like the ones that come out on top are the ones that face adversity the best.
That title game was a defensive battle. You held Louisiana Tech to their lowest field goal percentage this season. Macy Jennings, you know, I think she's very important to your lineup, especially on a defensive end. She got into some foul trouble, you know, against Middle Tennessee, against FIU. But I literally was telling people, I'm like, if Macy Jennings can stay out of foul trouble this championship game, I think she'll be super disruptive, and that she was. But I say all I have to say was, how important was defense this tournament, and what in-game adjustments are you most proud of?
Yeah, there's no question we won that championship with our defense and our rebounding and just our toughness. There's no question about that. And, you know, Macy has kind of been the anchor of that all season. You know, I remember early on, I think it was our first game of the season. I mean, she literally won the game for us by just getting us an extra possession on defense that gave us an opportunity to win. And I remember after that game, just thinking, like, she's different. She's different in what she can do on the defensive end of the floor. We really needed to use that to our advantage, and was just, you know, a huge asset. And then we just continued to grow defensively all year. You know, Faith Lee comes in as a big time scorer coming out of Arkansas. Little Rock as a transfer. And by the end of the year, I mean, we've asked her to be a defensive stopper on the team, and she's embraced it. And, you know, just has really bought into a role that we probably didn't necessarily expect at the beginning of the year. But I think it's been the trickle down from all that, you know, people willing to do whatever it takes to win. And then, you know, we're able to see a lot of our success because of our defense, because of our rebounding, because of our toughness. And the more success you have with that, the more you get people to really believe it and buy into that. So, you know, did I ever think that we would hold 3 teams late in the year here that were really high scoring teams? I mean, we had 3 teams that we held to 38 points. We kind of joked after the championship that 38 was our number. It's kind of unheard of, but whatever we have to do to win, you know, our kids were willing to do it. And, you know, really, Macy, you say, what adjustments did we have to make? Well, it was probably having to adjust around foul trouble that we didn't expect, you know. And honestly, after the first game, you know, you think, all right, Macy's going to be fresh. Lainey's going to be fresh. And turn around and we have it again. So I think the blessing in disguise was Macy hadn't played nearly the number of minutes that she had played in, you know, probably during the season in a number of those games. And then really, I mean, I gave her a short break in the middle of the maybe first, second quarter, but she didn't come out in the second half, you know. And, you know, Lainey, I thought, was a little bit more fresh, which, you know, I think our depth definitely proved to be a huge advantage for us. You know, just the impact that we had with a deep bench, which you have to give them credit because they were primarily, except for Katie Pauly, all freshmen.
Kamen, tell me, what was going through your mind offensively when points were hard to come by during this tournament?
I mean, I don't get, you know, too high or too low because I know that I have four other teammates that are all threats to score at the same time. I mean, I'm always, you know, trying to get my shot, but my teammates are trying to get me open. They're trying to set me the screens. So we always just talk about me making my cuts, me setting my screens, doing what I can to read it the way that I feel is best and then have my teammates play off of that. And I mean, they did exceptional. Whenever I felt like I was, you know, not shooting great or couldn't get the ball in my hands, they stepped up in big ways. But I think that's what makes us is that it's not a one-man show, it's not a two-man show, but there's five people who you have to play solid defense on for 40 minutes in order to beat us.
Coach, besides Kamen, Macy James, Faith Lee, those are upperclassmen for you, but you have a lot of underclassmen in Lainey Douglas and Maisha Washington and Kendall Bruin, Janila Bush, that gets key minutes for you guys. So how key is it for these young players to get minutes and have key moments for you during the season and especially in this tournament?
I mean, it's been huge. I mean, the reason we're in the position we're in is because of how those young kids have developed, quite honestly. You know, and you look at, I mean, Maisha was coming off the bench until Katie Pauly got hurt. But we, you know, for a while there, we had four freshmen coming off the bench. And there's been critical times this season. You know, you look out on the floor and we've got four freshmen out there that are really impacting the game at the same time in critical moments. And so I feel like it was a class that we felt like could impact us right away, but you never know how freshmen are going to adjust. And this freshman class is different. They're definitely different. And I think what separates them more than anything is just their mentality. And they've had, they've been able to kind of weather the storm with ups and downs. They've had a great deal of success, but they just continue to get better and better and understand what we were trying to do. And, you know, you look at our last, I guess we've won seven out of our last games or whatever it is. Our stretch there at the end of the year and the success we had was in large part in the way that those guys were playing. You know, Maisha is a freshman. Lainey is a sophomore. Lainey was playing her best basketball of the season late in the season here, the last third of the season. And then Nyla was huge in the tournament. I mean, to put together, you know, back-to-back games, played really, really well in a, you know, critical situation because Macy was in foul trouble both of those games. You look at Kendall, how she's impacted at us. You know, Audrey Hopkins, those guys just haven't played like freshmen. And you know, I think, you know, for a while, we probably really haven't looked at them as freshmen, but they got really valuable experience early and they've just continued to build on it. And there's no question that if those young kids didn't play the way that they've developed and played, there's no question we're not in the boat we're in right now.
Kamen, you seem like you have such a good relationship with your teammates. I remember it was just this one crucial, vivid memory in my mind where you had a behind-back pass to Lainey Douglas, and after that, you guys were literally laughing like, yeah, we know we ate that up, because y'all definitely did. But you being a junior, how have your, you know, your leadership role changed from last season to this season?
Yeah, coming off the bench last season was my role, and I embraced it, and I absolutely loved it. And then stepping up this season, I knew I was going to get a few more minutes with hopefully being a starter. I knew I still had to prove myself. But I mean, I'm excited with my leadership role. It's been amazing. And, you know, it wasn't always easy. It's not easy being a leader. But looking back now, everything has paid off. All the hard moments have paid off. And my team is just open ears to me. They're ready to listen. They know that I've been here 3 years. I've been in this system. And just like I said, I mean, they're ready to learn. They're ready to hear what I have to say. And whatever I say, they go and do it for me, which I'm really appreciative.
You were named the tournament MVP after averaging nearly a double-double. You had 17.7 points per game, over 9 rebounds per game. What does that achievement mean to you?
I mean, it means everything, but I wouldn't be where I am without my teammates putting me in those positions. I mean, I'm really just grateful, but at the end of the day, I feel like none of that stuff matters whenever we go home with that Conference USA trophy. So that's what I'm most proud of.
I know you just mentioned it, how you were sixth player of the year last year in the Missouri Valley. You were so close to just being the player of the year this year. So how was that offseason preparation like for you to get to this point?
Yeah, just a lot of, breaking down what I need to do better. A lot of talks with coach, asking her, what I can do. And then just being in the gym, being a gym rat, figuring things out. And then, just taking the offseason as it is. And then whenever the season comes, just figuring out, meshing with the girls, doing all the things. But I mean, again, it's not a one-man show. So props to my teammates for helping me out.
I want to talk about you guys' relationship for a second. Coach, you've been coaching Kamen since her freshman year. You've seen her grown from her freshman year and just winning a championship together. So how does that feel to win together, especially seeing that growth?
It's huge. I mean, I couldn't be any happier, for all of our entire team, but especially for Kamen. She's the kid that she was really my first phone call when I got the job at Missouri State, because she was a committed kid to Missouri State. But obviously I didn't recruit her. She was had committed to the previous staff, and just wanted to get to know her as a person and let her know that she's somebody that we felt like would still be really important in our program. And then the more that you get to know her, the more you can see what a great fit that she would be, and just seemed to she's my kind of kid. So I was glad she was already committed, but still obviously had to recruit her, but definitely my kind of kid. And to see a local kid that grew up dreaming to be a Lady Bear, and I know on her bucket list, I went to her graduation party, and she had on her list there, one of her things was to get the Lady Bears to be impact, to help get the Lady Bears, to the NCAA tournament. And so I know that it was a far off dream at the time. And you go through a lot of ups and downs through transition and learning and all those things. And just to see her grow so much throughout, from her freshman year to now, is just a huge testament to her work ethic, her belief, the support from her family. Today's day and age, it's easy to look right now and see here's the most valuable player from the tournament, your team, to new heights and, for this team. But there's been a lot of ups and downs, which has led to the growth. And, so many times today, it's easy for kids to find excuses and throw in the towel and think the grass is always greener somewhere else. But she always just stayed the course. And, you go from a kid who really didn't play at all her freshman year prior to Christmas, to then being probably one of the most impactful people for us as we made our tournament run at the end that season. And then last year's sixth player of the year, and having to adjust to a huge role for us and impacting off the bench. And then this year you're thrown into a completely new role in that you're the focal point of everybody's scouting report. So it's just been really cool to see that she's really been in just about every role you could ask her to be in at this point, and a kid that was just struggling to get off the bench and get a couple minutes, to turning into sixth player of the year, to now, I know she was the most valuable player in the tournament, but to me, there's been no question. She's been the most valuable player for us and what we've been able, to accomplish. And I think a lot of that just goes back to your approach, how you handle adversity, how you handle success. And so that's kind of the long-winded version of, there's been a lot that's gone into this, that this is what makes it so rewarding, for her. Just, I know how much she's been through and all she's overcome to get here. And that's why this moment has been so special. And I think you saw a lot of tears of joy, on the championship Saturday. And just, it's that's what that emotion is.
Kamen, I have to ask you the same question. How has your journey been with Beth Cunningham so far?
I mean, she just wrapped it up perfectly. Yeah, I'll never forget. I was in the car. I think I was by myself and she had called me like 20 minutes after it had gotten posted. And I knew that was really big for me because I was like, I can only imagine how many people she's talking to right now. And she's calling a high schooler who's committed to Missouri State. She's special. And I mean, as special as a coach, I mean, you can look at her resume and it's still growing to this day. I'm glad I can help her grow that a little bit. But I mean, no, she's a great coach and she knows how to put us all into the positions that we need to be in order to make us most successful. But just like she said, just believing in what she does and believing in, you know, our offense and who she is as a coach. And I mean, it's paying off. But yeah, for sure, like she said, just tears of joy just because of all that we've been through and just all the long conversations that we've had late nights at the gym and all the things. It just, you know, it all unraveled in one moment.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Coach, this is your first NCAA tournament with Missouri State. What does that mean personally for you and for the Lady Bears program?
I don't think it's so much about me. I think it's just, you know, I've had a lot of different experiences having been to the tournament, whether it was as a player or, you know, when I was at VCU, we had earned an at-large bid and, you know, obviously spent a lot of time at Notre Dame, you know, having the opportunity to compete for a national championship and playing in Final Four. So, you know, I have a wide range of various experiences having been in the NCAA tournament and just know how special it is and have so many great memories that to me, it's more about wanting it for them, you know, to be able to experience some of what I got to experience as a player and as a coach. And until you get there, you don't really understand that. So to me, it's kind of leaning on all those experiences and really just trying to put them in the best position possible. It's for them. This is something, I mean, we talked about it before. I think it was after we played FIU at our place. We felt, I mean, the way we played felt like kind of a championship game, to be honest. You know, I think we were coming off a really tough stretch and, you know, I know how we were higher than a kite and I just remember how great our kids felt. And I remember telling them that was just a small snippet of what it would feel like if we were to continue and be able to win a conference championship. And that's really what I wanted for them. It's just that feeling and the experiences that you get being a part of this that I know is really special.
You guys are playing SFA in the NCAA tournament. The winner would then take on number one Texas. So, Coach, what's the preparation like for this game and for this week ahead?
Yeah, I don't think it's really any different. You know, obviously, it's a quick turnaround. We got back Sunday night, got off the bus, went straight to the selection show. And I don't think any of us really had on our radar that we'd potentially be playing on Wednesday. So, you know, mentally, it was a quick turnaround. But I feel like we've done that all year. You know, we've had quick turnarounds, have to get your mind right. And so, you know, hopped on the plane yesterday. Because it was such a quick turnaround, we haven't been on the court yet. We're getting ready to meet in a little bit and talk about Stephen F. Austin for the first time. But I don't think our preparation is any different in that, you know, our goal is to get another game on the schedule and, you know, take it one game at a time and really just focus on the things that we have to do to be successful. Obviously, put a game plan together that will hopefully make Stephen F. Austin, you know, uncomfortable and try to take them out of what they want to do. But preparation wise, it's not any different.
Cayman, how can you guys carry this momentum that you already have into the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, I know we definitely gained a lot of confidence in ourselves and in each other and just as a team in our offense over the past three games that we had that were super tough stretches. So just continuing to carry this confidence into the tournament will be really important for us to continue to remember to do what we do. And then, yeah, we'd just follow the scout, just what we did the past three games. But I have no doubt we'll do it.
I always like to end our interview with questions about the fans. So this one is for both of you guys. Missouri State fans showed up in such a big way. I mean, you guys had a huge fan base showed out for you guys during this tournament run. What did that energy mean to you, your team during this run?
I mean, the fans mean everything to us. We can't thank them enough for being there. Honestly, I mean, we wave to them after every single game, but I wish we could just go give every single one of them a hug because they have no idea what they do for us. I mean, I have no doubt that we definitely lead the conference in fans and they make a huge impact. I mean, you can just see our record whenever we play at home. It's just so much better. But bringing them on the road, I mean, they definitely helped. It felt like we were at home again, even though we were all the way in Alabama. But they, I mean, they impacted in so many ways. And just being able to have our family there to watch us also means the world to us. I know that for sure.
You guys have some of the nicest fans. I don't think I've ever talked to a fan base as much as I talked to Missouri State's fans this past week. So I definitely want to tell you guys are so nice out there in Missouri. But last question for you, Coach. Did you feel momentum shifts in games fueled by that crowd support?
Well, we're really fortunate because wherever we go, we seem to have really good fan support. So honestly, the tournament wasn't technically unique for us thinking like, wow, we kind of, you know, you don't want to take it for granted. We certainly don't take it for granted, but our fans always travel well. We obviously have a great crowd at home. We get a ton of support. Our kids are, you know, used to playing in front of fans. And so I love the fact that the men and the women's tournaments were together. Obviously, our men had a great run and people were coming to support our men. But it was really the first time I've been a part of a tournament that's had both men's and women's tournaments going on at the same time. And I just love the fact that I know our Lady Bear fans travel well, but I think we were also able to pick up some of the fans that had been traveling for the men as well. And our Lady Bear fans were there for the men's team, you know, and they didn't have to make a decision on who to go support. But it's a huge, you know, X factor for us. I mean, you look at our game against Middle, obviously Middle Tennessee was only 2 hours away. You know, we were good, I don't know, what, 8-9 hours away. And I felt like we had just as good a showing. And our fans, the Latin crowd, you know, FIU, it was awesome. And then obviously for the championship. So, and I expect we'll have a good following here in Texas. So it's something that definitely makes Lady Bear basketball special because it's important in our community. They support women's basketball and it's fun to be able to go out and represent and play for them.
Well, that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for joining us. I know you guys traveled yesterday, so get a little rest today. But congrats again and good luck this week.
Thanks so much for having us.
That's all we have for you on today's episode of the CUSA Insider Podcast, the official podcast of Conference USA. Another huge congratulations to the Missouri State Lady Bears on claiming the 2026 Air National Guard Conference USA Women's Basketball Championship. And don't forget to watch them as they take on number 16 SFA tomorrow, Wednesday, March 18th at 8 p.m. Central on ESPN2. As always, follow us on socials at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. For all of our audio listeners, you already know the drill: Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. For all of our YouTube people, thank you so much for joining in. If you want to switch over to a visual for the week, type in YouTube on your browser, type in Conference USA in the search bar, and then go to our podcast playlist. As always, I'm your host, Jessica Radford. Until next time.